The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Beth offers help to make it past our mistakes.
Of all the reasons why I love God, that's one of the top ones on the list. That even in all my stupidity, God works with me to heal me because He loves me and He delights in me. And you need to know that thing that keeps getting us into a mess doesn't just need correction, it needs healing.
Victory through chastisement. Next.
Thank you. You're great. We appreciate it, all of you. Thank you so much. Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to present Wednesdays in the Word, and today is one of your very favorite biblical teachers and communicators, and that's Beth Moore. And she's going to be talking about correction, about chastisement. How can that ever be something that we really have the right attitude about? Well, we need to, because it's for our benefit. And I don't know anyone who can explain it any more effectively and even make it sound like, hey, it could be really good. But here is Beth, and I can promise you she will be filled with zeal and truth. Would you welcome Beth Moore?
Number one was what? Do not take it lightly. Am I stepping in that with me? Number two, but don't lose heart over it. Don't lose heart over it. I love the balance of the Word of God and what He teaches us, because He says, let me tell you something, fear me over this, but you better know how much I love you. You got to know how much I love you. Do not lose heart in this process. It says it next, right after it says, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. It says, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you. Do not lose heart. This is a God who loves you. I want you to hear Proverbs 3. Jot down this address, Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. I want to just speak this over somebody listening and somebody watching. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 say this. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Now, this is the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews is quoting this very verse. And do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in. Do you know that God disciplines those He delights in? When it's hard, go, thank you, God, you delight in me. You delight in me. God goes, you know what? You are so delightful to me. I would like for you to learn how to be a delight to others. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I really love you. I really love you, and I really like to put you in a real lovable state so that you can just be a delight to people, such a delight to me. And I'm going to go with you through this process so that you can become the person that I know you are. I know you're this. I know the real you. I know the real you. And you can trust me, I'm building you into the real you. He disciplines those He delights in. Now, number three is this. We just got to humble ourselves and receive it. Just humble ourselves and receive it. Let me tell you something. God is drawn to humility. He says over and over again, I will oppose the proud, but boy, I will esteem the humble. I will give grace to the humble. I will give grace to the humble. He says in 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. I need somebody to listen. I don't care how many times you've heard it. Listen to what I'm saying. It is a promise in the Word of God. If you will humble yourself before Him under His mighty hand, you don't have to entrust yourself to anybody else's mighty hand. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean we're never under authority. I just mean it's God we're talking about here. You just press yourself down under the mighty hand of God, and He promises you, based on the authority of His Word, He is going to pick you up in due time, when time comes due, when the process is complete, and He can entrust you with the power that He wants to give you. I tell you, as a parent of two young adult daughters, when I was raising my young children, nothing tendered me to that child more than when I could tell that child was just trying to submit and have a sweet spirit during a time when they were grounded. It just, if they stayed rebellious with me, I can't tell you how many times I go, you know what? You're grounded tomorrow too. You might know what I'm talking about. Just burned me up. Just burned me up. Because you're not done, but you said 3 days, you know what? I want to see the right attitude. I still don't see the attitude I'm looking for. I see no humility out of you. I see somebody sassy in you. And we're not done yet. We're not done yet. But when I see, I can't tell you, there have been times that I've gone, you know what? We're going to be done with this a day early. Because it's just a sweet, submissive spirit. Just somebody that can go, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I don't mind staying at home. I'll just, why don't we make popcorn? Well, then I just want to go, you can go. Because your heart's right. I love that. Tenders you. People respect. Seeing somebody that can just humble themselves under a time of dealing with consequences. Go be part of a local body. Hold your head up. You have the right to worship your God. In spirit and in truth, let's just not be fake about it. Let's just worship Him from the pain and the consequences we're in. Let's go to the altar. Let's let people pray over us. Let's just be out there with it. Well, that's going to be the process right there. Out there in the light with the Lord Jesus. This I'm just dying for you to see because this was huge to me. When I was putting this lesson together, never put these two pieces together. Number four is this. Never lose sight of the ultimate goal of all chastisement. Never lose sight of the ultimate goal of all chastisement. We talked about how all discipline is toward, or correction is toward instruction, but I want you to see the ultimate thing that God is after. And I'm telling you, I nearly just jumped out of my skin when this began to surface on the page. Look at verses 12 and 13 again in Hebrews 12. It says this, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Healed. The ultimate goal of all chastisement, of every single disciplinary season we'll go through when we're dealing with all manner of consequence that we know we helped ask for. The ultimate goal that God always has in mind, somebody celebrate it with me today, is He's looking to heal us. He's looking to heal us, that the end result is for us to be healed. I got chill bumps all under this wool coat. I mean, chill bumps. That to me, that of all the reasons why I love God, that's one of the top ones on the list. That even in all my stupidity, God works with me to heal me because He loves me and He delights in me. And you need to know that that's the way He feels about you. Because let me tell you something. Think with me here. That thing that keeps getting us into a mess doesn't just need correction. It needs healing. It needs healing. Listen. Every fault line is a broken place. Every fault line is a broken place. Remember when we talk about having to own up to what's our fault? Okay, that one, whoa, that was my fault. That was my fault. Here's what God knows, that every fault line is a broken place. In other words, when I just keep doing that over and over again, something's broken. Something is broken and it needs healing. I can't tell you the joy that came to me and just the relief is the word I'm looking for. The relief that came to me when I realized after I was one of those people, I just was drawn to the pit and just back in. I worn out so badly, I had a heart for God, but I'd get in a mess again, find myself in a heap of sin again, and then out, then in. And I can't tell you what it meant to me when I realized that God was not only saying, you know, He wasn't only just picking out my sin. He was showing me my brokenness. Baby girl, you've been hurt and you need some healing. You work with me and I will heal you. Son, I will heal you. The ultimate result of it is always to bring us healing. Listen to this translation. This is one of my commentators that one of my commentaries at home, where he translates the Greek in some of his own renderings of it, and I want you to hear how he says it. Wherefore, straighten out the limp hands and the paralyzed knees, and make straight paths for your feet, in order that, see, he says that there's a definite article, and indeed there is in the Greek, a definite article before it's set, before lame. He's saying that in order that the lame thing may not get turned wrong, but rather be cured. I want to read that again. In order that the lame thing may not get turned wrong, but rather cured. What is it? And it's different for you than it is for me. What is the lame thing? What got broken? What broke it? God will give us insight. Listen, brothers and sisters, God will give us insight into that. What got splintered? What's been shattered? What is the lame thing that keeps getting us over on that path that leads us to destruction over and over again? He knows what it is. He knows what it is. He wants us to know so that we can be cured, so that we can be cured. I want you to look back at something else. Look in verse 11. Oh, I'll tell you. I just cannot express to you how much I want to see somebody get set free today. I want you to notice these words as it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Trained by it simply means that we learned it. We went through the process of it. Like athletes, we were trained by it, and it brings a harvest of peace and righteousness. Now, you're thinking, Beth, that's good. That's fine. Sounds real religious, but I'm not really getting why it's so important to us. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to read you just a little portion out of Galatians chapter 6 that says this in verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature he will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Listen carefully. It is the natural order of things, the natural law that God has set up as boss. You'll reap what you sow. You'll reap what you sow. For some of us that have a very sinful past, we're going, oh, Lord, have mercy. There's a lot of hopelessness in that. Listen to me carefully. I want somebody to get them a revelation today. The only thing that can change how this harvest turns out is cooperating with God and letting Him bring you through it with your knees down and your chin up. That which you normally should have outright in the natural order of things have sown and reaped. Suddenly, the worst thing that has ever happened in your life instead reaps a harvest of peace and righteousness. This is the only, I need somebody to get this with me. This is the only thing that will change what you reap out of that situation. When we're going through a time of consequences, if we just let it be consequences, all in the world we're going to get out of it is just what that action deserved. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if we let God take it over and we cooperate with Him as a dearly loved child, knowing that He's after teaching us and curing us and healing us and putting us back together again, then that which should have deserved X instead gets A. Anybody get what I'm saying? It is the only thing that will change what is harvested out of the worst mistake of your life. You can let how this turns out be redeemed. But if we don't cooperate with Him, even if we're His child, but we just don't cooperate with Him, we just stay in our denial or we stay in our despair, we're just going to get what would come. But if we let Him have it and we trust Him, and know we are loved by Him and a delight to Him, God will change the harvest into peace and righteousness. I love what the Apostle Paul said. I've thought it so many times about my own life in 1 Corinthians 4:4. Paul said about himself, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Listen, there's nothing innocent about my past. Nothing. Nothing. I don't even remember innocence when I was 3 years old, for crying out loud. But I can tell you this. Today, after where I've been with God, as much sin as in my background, my conscience is clear. God and I have done the thing together. Went through some very, very hard things. I've embarrassed myself. I've caused some consequences to come about that have been extremely painful. But you know what? My God and I have gone through it together. And after where I've been and all I've done, my conscience is clear today to stand up before you and serve you, not as someone who has been innocent, but someone who has been healed. Healed. The chastisement was the very thing God used to heal me. Praise you, Father.
Oh boy, that's a powerful statement, Beth. How can we find it easy to say what you just said? It's not unless you know the healing was real and that through the correction, you found the healing. Father, I pray for everyone to come to have an appreciation for your really gentle correction. So often when we continue to bow our neck or go our way, you're such a merciful God. Sometimes it's hard to thank you for correction unless we can really see that we can be made whole. So for that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. But I want all of you to know how much we appreciate you communicating with us, the gratitude that you have for not only Beth Moore, but all the guests that we have on Life Today. And then the other thing, Betty, that our viewers tell us, and it doesn't matter where we are, when we meet people, they invariably say, thank you for letting us make a difference, an effective, meaningful difference in someone's life. I want you to listen to the heart cry of mothers. And think about this. In a moment, I'm going to show you a little Christmas ornament. And I know it's not Christmas, but we want to do something special for Christmas. And this is a little shoe. And what we want to do is give shoes and smiles for Christmas. Cleft palate surgery, and shoes for little children's feet to keep them from getting hookworms and other problems that devastate their health. I want you to listen to mothers and just look, and then just say, God, what can I do to give someone a smile, to give a child an opportunity? Special meaning for Christmas, the love of God expressed. Watch closely.
If there's one thing mothers around the world pray for above all else, it's the health of their children. And with everything these children are exposed to, that can be a tall order. This year, you may have partnered with Life Outreach out of compassion to take care of some basic needs, like clean drinking water and a daily bowl of food. But have you ever thought about the dangers children face every day simply from being children? With poverty as the deciding factor in what these mothers can provide for their children, a pair of shoes is a necessity that many children will never have. This coming Christmas season, we'd like to do something special for these children and give them a pair of shoes of their very own. These shoes will not only protect their feet from injury and disease, but will be a treasured possession that will remind them of God's love.
Would you help us put shoes on little feet like this, or perhaps a child that's a little older? These are very durable shoes. Matter of fact, when you buy this type of shoe in the store, they cost you quite a bit. But these shoes we're able to get for $3.60 each. That's because someone who cared made it possible to create the shoes just for this express reason. Here is a little shoe that is a Christmas ornament that some of our staff several years ago said, why don't we do that? for Christmas shoes and smiles, for people who will put this on the tree to just think about praying for little children and blessing them with shoes and smiles, because we do cleft palate surgery too as a Christmas gift. We raise the funds way ahead of time because we need to get the money to buy the shoes. We're asking God to let us give $200,000 in specific places where the missionaries have shown us a need. And you can rest assured, Betty, in those areas, the hearts will be open to receive the gospel because they have seen the gospel demonstrated. If you would help us give these shoes, think about it, $360 a pair, $36. We've got 10 pairs of shoes for 10 children. I don't think there are very many people watching anywhere in the world who couldn't do that. Would you simply go to your computer or iPad or wherever you go and go online, lifetoday.org, or go to the telephone. Would you do that right now? And just dial the number you see there on the screen. Take your bank card and use it like a check and make the largest gift you can. Think about this. $144 will give 40 children a pair of shoes. Would you do that? And then, Betty, one of the greatest things that we've ever been able to see are little children that had their face disfigured or cleft palate and do the surgery and give them a smile. We can do those surgeries for $500 each. Could you give a surgery or maybe two surgeries? Would you give shoes and smiles for Christmas? That's what we're asking you to do. We're going to send you the little shoe ornament to put on your tree, and you can tell people what you're doing. They will likely want to be involved in the future in the outreaches of life. We'll send all four of the shoes we've had over the last years as a collection for those of you who'll give a gift of $100 or more. Betty, I can't imagine anybody watching that wouldn't want to give a child a smile or shoes for Christmas.
Well, you know, I couldn't help but smile as I watched those children when we put the shoes on their feet. How precious are the feet of these children. As we watch it for the first time, they've never had shoes before, but not probably fully understanding why we're giving the shoes, but we know to protect their feet from disease that can get into their bodies and ultimately kill some of them. So please join with us. Let's put shoes on their feet and smiles on their faces. That would be a joy to us along with being a help to them.
Would you go to the phone right now, please? And take your bank card, use it like a check. That's how you should always use those cards. If you want to write a check, make it to Life. But call the number and tell us what you're mailing, because we have to let the missionaries know, yes, the shoes are coming, because we've got them from our friends who want to share life every day. Thank you for doing that. Or remember, you can go online, lifetoday.org. Thank you so much for reaching out and touching someone with the very love of God.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes, and while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pair. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. With your gift of any amount, be sure to request this beautifully crafted red antique shoe ornament, a treasure to place on your tree each holiday season. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request a special boxed set of Life's Christmas shoe ornaments from past years. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, here is one group of the most beautiful children. These children are in Central America, and these are just a few of the children that we want to bless with 200,000 pairs of shoes. You think about that, 200,000 kids and what it's going to do for their family. I've said to you over and over that it's one thing to pray for people, But it's another thing to become an answer to somebody's prayer, someone's need. And the Bible tells us very clearly in one place as an example, many places, but one very clearly, Isaiah 58, that when you reach out and you touch those in need, then you call and God says, I will answer quickly. We get our prayers answered. And Betty, it's been amazing to see what happened in our lives, and we just begin to bless others, and giving shoes is one way to bless
it
others.
It is, and to me, it's such a rewarding thing to do. You know, we come over here to be a blessing, but we always go back so much more blessed, James, I think, because we see what can be done, we see the needs here, but we know that our friends, because they love children, they love to give, they love to share, that's you I'm talking about. You'd love to help in any need that we share with you. And this is a real need, shoes for the children.
I do hope many of you will ask for the beautiful blessing glass sculpture, because if you make a gift to give those smiles, you know, the surgeries are $500 each. And we're asking you to prayerfully help us, if you can, to give a couple of kids smiles. And give as many pairs of shoes as you can. And Betty and I just say thank you so very much. Blessings on all of you.
Concerned about your family being ill-equipped to manage resources when you pass away? Do you want to leave a legacy gift that impacts the lives of others? As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, is here to help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Do not put off this important step to protect your loved ones and leave a lasting legacy. Contact Life Planning Services today.
And I would say, God, please, when I wake up in the morning, make me look like everybody else.
Cruelly labeled the world's ugliest woman, Lizzie Velasquez, tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.